So hello everyone and welcome back to DevelopPod, the podcast from ITEFL's Teacher Development Special Interest Group. My name is James Taylor, and this is a very special episode today for a number of reasons. So to explain why, let me introduce my hosts, get co-hosts for this episode. First of all, the first reason this is a special episode is I'm joined by Helen Slee. Hello, Helen. What are you doing here?
Hi, James. Well, last I checked, you invited me.
I did. It's true. So Helen is joining the DevelopPod team as a new member. So we're very happy to have you. Helen, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Sure. So, I've been teaching English since about 2009, so it's been quite a while. In lots of different countries all over the world, but recently have been taking a break from working and teaching, and I'm completing my TESOL diploma, and so focusing a lot more on my professional development. Joined the TD SIG committee, as you know, so I'm focusing a lot on my learning and growth right now, so this seemed like the right move to make.
Yeah, and we're very happy to have you. Welcome aboard. Our next co-host is a voice that will be familiar to all DevelopPod listeners. So welcome back to Christian. Hello there, how are you?
Morning or good afternoon, whatever it is, James,
Oh,
middle of the
let
night.
do do your do your, do it properly. Come on, for the fans.
Oh my God. Oh my God. They must be sick of it by now. Good morning, good afternoon, good. Oh, look, I've stumbled the first hurdle. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good middle of the night, wherever you may find yourselves around the world. Welcome to etc. TD SIG Podcast DevelopPod.
As Helen is joining us, this is in fact Christian's final episode as part of the developer team and as part of the TD SIG committee. So, Christian, how are you feeling?
Well, seven's a good n number, I believe, and I've been with you guys for 7 years. It's gone really quickly, and I'll be really, really, really sorry to go. It will give me space in my life to do other things, but I haven't regretted a moment of those 7 years. It's been a real learning journey and a joy to meet you guys.
So we're going to hear a bit more about your history with DevelopPod a bit later. But before we go on, I just want to say right now how much I've enjoyed working with you on this podcast. I joined a few episodes in, but it was great to be able to join you and to be able to work on these episodes with you. And the podcast, it really bears your imprint. And it's a special thing that you've done. And I know that on behalf of all the committee members you work with, but also all of our listeners, how much we've appreciated your work on DevelopPod and on TDSIG. So a big, big thank you to you.
Bless you. Thank you, James. British modesty and all that, yada, yada, yada. But
Oh,
at this
take it. Come on,
okay,
take
at
it.
the same time, I'd take it. And I honestly have enjoyed it. I honestly have enjoyed it. So thanks to you. It's been great working with you, and thanks to TD SIG for the opportunity.
So another reason why this is a special episode is you may have noticed while looking at your podcast feed that this is episode 50, the perfect place for our esteemed Christian to bow out and for Helen to join. I don't know if you know this, but very few podcasts get to this stage of 50 episodes. So I think we should be quite proud of our achievement of getting to this many episodes. And I thought just to celebrate the 50th episode, I would do a quick quiz for you, which puts our achievements in some sort of context. I've got some stats for you
Oh,
about.
OMG, we're not prepared for this, are we, Helen?
No,
Not at
I don't want you
all.
to be.
I didn't do
No,
any pre-reading.
none at all. So I've got some, it wouldn't be much of a quiz if I'd let you do pre-reading. So it's a quiz about podcasting in the world right now. You have to make your wild guesses as to what you think the correct answer is. Okay, so approximately how many active podcasts are there in the world currently?
Gosh, I'd probably say around about 50,000. Depends what you mean by active, but around about 50,000.
Okay, Ellen?
I'd say 75,000.
Well, the answer is
You presumpt me.
2 million.
No way.
Wow, I thought it would be a lot. I mean, if you think of the population of the world.
Yeah. And now it seems like most people have got their own podcast,
No,
right?
I think
So
Helen gets the prize for that
yeah,
one.
okay. And how many podcast episodes are there estimated to be?
So, I would say,
Bear in mind there are 2 million active podcasts.
I'm
5 million.
calculating allegedly from that. I think probably about 200 million.
Okay. Ellen?
I said 5 million.
Okay. Well, somewhere between the two, it's 48 million podcast episodes, of
Wow.
which 50 belong to us. Okay, so a little bit US-centric here, but what percentage of the US population have listened to a podcast?
I'd say 65%.
Okay.
I think
Christian.
you are. I think about 25%.
Wow. Helen, 62%.
Whoa.
There you go. There you go. Look at that.
Helen, you're getting all the questions right. I think you're in a strong place to take the
This
leadership
is actually a job interview. Okay, what percentage of Americans listen to a podcast on a monthly basis?
on this podcast. 50%.
I'd say 45%.
The answer is 41. And which location, and by location, I don't mean city or country, I mean sort of place, is the most popular place to listen to podcasts?
You don't mean city, did you say?
No, not, I don't mean the answer is New York. I mean, what type of place?
And what type of place?
I think a city because people would listen to them on their commutes or during while traveling.
Yeah,
So,
so if you think it's while they're traveling, then you would say the answer would be like on transport. That's
yeah,
what
on
that.
transport. Yeah, I think the same, to be honest.
Yeah, well, you're both wrong. It is in the home.
Really?
Yeah, that's why I listen to most of mine, I think, doing the washing up and, you
Oh
know.
yeah, while doing chores, of course.
Yeah, pottering around. And this doesn't exactly apply to us, but what's the advertising revenue from podcasts in 2023? What was approximately?
Can you give us some possible answers?
Well, it's an amount in US dollars.
Yeah,
Would you
I figured
maybe
that.
give us multiple choice?
Exactly.
I would say it's a very big number.
Oh, thanks for the
That
clue,
is not multiple choice.
It's a
Right.
multiple choice of one.
James, have you ever worked on assessments?
Well, I think this is a situation where the students' high expectations should be placed upon them.
Oh, okay. Right, advertising revenue on podcasts.
I have a wild guess. 2 billion has been earned from advertising on podcasts, with the total contribution of that from DevelopPod is absolutely zero,
Correct. Okay.
which I think could change in the future.
Okay. Helen?
I would say 1 billion.
Okay. Well,
Oh,
Christian, you are exactly right.
Oh,
Toot, toot, finally a question, right?
there you go. Okay, and then the last one will be what is the average number of podcasts that a listener listens to in a week?
episodes or different
Yeah.
podcast episodes? Ooh, in the US still.
I think so.
I would say maximum five, probably 3 to 5.
Okay, so four.
Let's say four.
Helen.
I know they're gonna Gazunda or Gazumbi by just one or two. Go for it, Helen.
Yeah, I think 3 episodes a week.
Oh, Gazundered.
Going under. Well, then that leaves the field open to Christian because the answer is nine.
Oh,
Oh,
wow.
there you go. So there you go. There's some bit of pod-based fun. So thank you. I think that was about in the end, I think that was fairly even, actually. In the end, I think Christian brought it round at the end with a couple of last minute efforts.
I've redeemed myself. I redeemed
You
myself.
have.
And one question for you and Helen. So where do we have most listeners? Which country around the world do we have most listeners?
Ooh, I'm going to take a guess and say South America.
That's not
Well,
exactly a country, but we could go with
oh, sorry, a
that.
country. So I'll say Brazil.
Brazil, okay. And James?
I mean, I think the boring option would be to say the UK, but possibly correct.
Possibly, I think we need probably a break in the editing here for me to find the
I
answer.
assumed you'd got that ready while we were doing the
No.
quiz. I was like, oh, that's really good. He was like, he thought of that. He got it ready. That's so slick. And you're like, oh, you
I'm looking.
want
I want an answer as well. I'm looking up at the moment. So I believe it's actually, yeah, it's the US. Yeah. So the answer is the US of A. And maybe it's just you boosting the figures in New York there, James. Are you
Maybe.
pressing play many, many times during a
I
day?
am. I have it on a Spotify loop, you know, to try and get those numbers cranked up. Okay, so another thing that we're celebrating today is that we recently completed our series on the future of ELT. So over the last year, most of our episodes have been based around this theme, which was an overarching theme as part of TDSIG's all of our activities. But so we did I think 8 episodes focusing on that topic. And I thought it would just be nice for us to have a look back at some of those episodes and just to reflect on what we learned from that process. Christian, you did the majority of the interviews, and what did it Did you take anything particular away from that experience of talking to those diverse voices and diverse opinions?
Well, I suppose in general terms, yes, one of the themes was that nobody really wanted to be pinned down in terms of crystal ball gazing, I think. And a lot of it was talking about recent developments and how that might continue into the future. And I think that's fair enough, right? We wouldn't want to pin down on it anybody, particularly when they're well known in the industry and people could look back in 20 or 30 years' time and say, you said this was going to happen. So people were not exactly cagey, but nonetheless careful in their predictions. So, I mean, the themes were really diverse from technology and developments in technology to climate crisis and teacher development, bottom-up teacher development, and the nitty-gritty of the kind of training interface, that kind of thing. So there was a breadth of themes, and I think the series benefited from that. What did I take from it? Just there's a great depth and breadth of voice in the industry, and I think we all benefit from that.
I think one of the things I like most about what we do is the huge variety of topics and subject areas that it covers, right? So it is that, I mean, we don't really have an excuse for being bored, really, do we? Because there's so many things that we can constantly sort of like a whole other area can open up to us one time. We can listen to a podcast like ours, or we can go to a conference and hear someone do a presentation, and then suddenly there's this whole area of a whole avenue to explore that you never even considered before or had never really thought about. And so I really like that about this, about what we do. And so looking at the list of just the list of topics that we covered in this area, I think is it shows just the breadth of our subject.
Exactly. I mean, I think it's difficult to talk favorites, but maybe the few that have really chimed with me, episode 46, Bottom Up Teacher Development with Claire Steele and Sarah Smith. That, I mean, it wasn't revolutionary in approach, but these two people are inspiring. They started up their own business. They've seen a niche in the market in terms of really helping teachers at the interface of teaching, because so often that mentoring, which they talk about, and a critical friend is missing within your work environment, and they provided that consultancy and critical friend, teacher development, I suppose. Also, the interview with Richard Chin and Danny Norrington Davis on emergent language. I think that's something that, as a language teacher for a while, I've been aware of, and that's, but they've pinned it down and written a book on it, and they're inspiring in that, and they've made it very concrete, in this new, but not new area of language teaching and teacher training. And finally, I come back to Silvana Richardson, a greatest promoter, I suspect, on this podcast, and she talks about something that I've touched on already, the kind of dichotomy, I suppose, between the depth and the breadth of knowledge within teaching and teacher training, and that she rues the fact that perhaps we've lost the depth of focus on content in terms of teacher training at the expense of the breadth of the diverse issues that we've covered in this podcast. And she doesn't necessarily say, in fact, she says they're very useful, those extra themes, like, global warming and race and queerness and mental health. They're vital, but that perhaps we need to refocus on methodology and content in terms of what we do. And she also mentions peer coaching and supporters of implementation of teacher development, which I think is fundamental to what we do and what we focus on in this podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah. Helen, did you want to add anything?
I particularly enjoyed the interview with Sandy Millen and the way that she talked about, the way that teaching communities have changed while we've had podcasts, while we've had conferences and meetups for a long time. As online communities have grown, that's really impacted English teachers in the way that we started out connecting and communicating on blogs and commenting on blog posts, moving into Twitter and now into LinkedIn, and how these online communities have changed and developed over time, and the impact that COVID-19 had on those, and the resurgence in those communities when people were really struggling with adapting to teaching in the online mode or hybrid teaching or new ways of working that they'd never done before. And those communities were there for them. And the way that those communities have changed over time, I found that really interesting, because I'm quite interested in the way that diverse voices can come together and help each other and support each other in professional learning communities.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with that series. I think it was really really interesting. I think the range of subjects was fascinating, and at a particularly good time, I think, to reflect on that, as it does feel a bit like things are changing all around us at the moment, and a lot of us are thinking about how the future is going to look. So of course, now we will be moving forward with Developod and a new theme. We'll get back to you on that soon. I think that was a useful look back at what I hope has been a very interesting series for our listeners. And of course, if there are any episodes that you didn't manage to catch, then they're all there in the archive in your podcast feed. So go back and check them out. Okay, so as this is the big episode 50, and it's Christian's swan song, I think it would be a good idea now if we heard a bit more from the man of the hour. And so I'm going to hand it over now to you, Helen and Christian, and you can have a chat about Christian's history with Developpod.
So, for the 50th anniversary of Developpod, and because you're sadly leaving us on the TD-SIG committee, Christian would love to interview and ask about Developpod. Could you tell us a bit about how Developpod started and what were its ambitions?
Sure. It started back in 2017, and I was at an IETFL conference. And typical me, I was at a TD SIG kind of meet the SIGs day. It was a TD SIG, and I was suggesting things to the then coordinator, Sinead Lafan, and I put my big foot in it and suggested a few things, and she must have thought, "Hey, here's someone with some ideas and some enthusiasm," and got me on board and said, "We have this idea to start a podcast," which I did back in 2017. I knew nothing at all about making a podcast, and I very quickly gathered the tools and got people to support and help me. In the early days, Matthew Noble helped me, and he was a real support. He made the music that we still use, the lick tune between various parts of the podcast and at the intro and the outro. And I don't know if he did that on his guitar and then edited it on GarageBand or something like that. But yeah, that stays with us. And from those early days, somehow I coined that catchphrase, "Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good middle of the night, wherever you may find yourselves around the world." It reminded me of Nicholas Parsons and his introduction to a popular quiz show in the UK. So it started back in 2017, and it's grown from strength to strength. As you say, this is the 50th episode, in fact. So it's a milestone, and I've been really lucky to have worked with all sorts of amazing people, both those who have been interviewed and my colleagues and collaborators, including Matthew Noble, who I mentioned, Tanya Merridew. We had great fun together working and together with James as well for quite some time. And James, of course, the co-chair at the moment. And Tyson Seaburn as well contributed a lot when he was the chair of this SIG. So I would say that it started from absolutely nothing, and we really didn't know exactly where we were going with it, apart from we wanted a podcast because nothing really was there as far as I was aware or am aware in terms of teacher development. There were James has been doing a podcast with various other collaborators called TEFL Commute, for example, and there are many others, but they're not really deep diving into the teacher development, I would say. So it filled a gap, and it's become extremely popular. It's at various times it's in the certainly the top 100 and the sometimes the top 50 of podcasts worldwide on various channels, and in terms of training, it's often in the top five. So it's in terms of the statistics, whatever that means, then I think we've done really well, and it's gone out all over the world. Obviously, more popular in certain parts of the world, but it's got a great following at the times, up to even 3,000 plays per episode, which I think is quite incredible, since we don't do really any advertising outside our own kind of personal learning networks and the networks that TD SIG has.
And was that an ambition when you started the podcast? Were you looking to get those statistics, or were you just hopeful to fill that gap and really raise awareness and engage with teachers about professional development?
That's a difficult question, to put myself back into the kind of novice mind of 2017 when I was, I'd been tasked with creating something. And I don't think anyone really knew where it was going at the time. Certainly, we wanted to interview teachers about their perspectives. We wanted to interview some well-known figures in the ELT industry. But in terms of, gaining a certain audience or certain numbers per episode, no, I really think that was far from our mind. And so I think whatever success we've had in terms of, reaching out to people is just by the by. I'm glad that people are listening to it. And hopefully that will develop further and further down the line.
So DevelopPod has really grown since its inception in 2017. What would you say have been some of the highlights?
I guess highlights from what perspective? I mean, there's been some funny moments for me. I can perhaps mention a few. And there's been a lot of highlights in terms of who I've been privileged enough to interview and my own learning as well through that. Perhaps some of the more silly, memorable moments was amongst them was first perhaps recording of Good Morning, Good Afternoon, Good Evening, Good Middle of the Night with Tanya, my collaborator on this, and she just could not get it. That was just hilarious, but I suppose more of an in-joke moment. What else? Oh yes, recording an episode with Nick Peachy, who found, I think, itself to over a thousand ears, or perhaps 2,000 ears if we count the fact that we have two ears each, around the world. And the great trainer in technology and ELT, of course, I managed to forget to press record. And
Oh,
somehow we salvaged it, and he was very forgiving, but I was rather embarrassed to say the least. I didn't do that again. And so perhaps they were my own special moments, although there have been many. In terms of the episodes, there's been so many that I've enjoyed. I think I can perhaps quote a few. Maybe, for example, I would say recording the interview on classroom-based inquiry with Petra and Eliška in the Czech Republic. And they were two teachers that I was working with here in Brighton and Hove. And that was entitled Classroom-Based Inquiry. And it really saw a very detailed and practical perspective of classroom-based research from two teachers' points of view and how they put it into operation. And it was just fascinating to listen to their real stories. So listen to that if you're interested. That's episode 36, I believe. And linked to that, there was an episode that we did on action research, giving you some nuts and bolts if you're not familiar with action research, anyone who's listening. What else? Perhaps also just being able to, as well as interview teachers like myself who are at the interface, people who are well known in the industry and teachers in themselves, but nonetheless, how humbling to be able to interview people like Sivana Richardson and Richard Chin and Danny Norrington Davis. They've just recently published a book on emergent language. Who else? Perhaps Chia Swang Chong, well known on social networks, and also. I absolutely adored interviewing and speaking to Jane Willis, for example, who was, of course, a light on everything to do with task-based teaching and task-based learning. So yes, speaking to influencers in the industry was a great privilege, I suppose, and I learned a lot through that.
So tell us a little more. How did TD6 DevelopPod, working on it, developing it, growing it over these years, how did that contribute to your professional development then?
Oh, that's a really difficult question, I suppose, because I've interviewed such a diverse cross section of those in the industry, but continually I was learning about every aspect of the industry, And occasionally I wanted to, and I definitely succumbed to giving my point of view. And but essentially I was a sponge for the many inputs that have been part of DevelopPod. So I think classroom-based research, for example, that was really, really interesting to speak about during one of the podcasts. And also task-based learning, but also being influenced by themes as diverse as mental health within ELT and what that means and what that can look like as we go forwards, supporting teachers in that. Race and queerness, we did a webinar on that and a podcast based on those topics, which Tyson Seaburn was highly influential in bringing to the fore, I suppose. And I think perhaps Sylvana Richardson was the biggest inspiration, and I keep coming back to her because she's a wealth of information. She's a force to be reckoned with, and she's very, very practical in the information that she shares. And she did for an early episode with me. In fact, I believe she's the only person who has done two episodes. And the early episode was around the themes of, I forget now exactly what it was called, but it was around creating a learning organization and supporting teachers in development, and particularly peer-led development. And I think she's just got a breadth and a depth of ideas that are really inspirational.
So, what have been some of the memorable moments of your ELT career, and how has DevelopPod and your work with TD-SIG contributed to those?
Interesting question. Being with DevelopPod for around about 7 years now has been a big chunk of my 30-year career, I suppose, in ELT. Going back to the early days, perhaps a memorable moment was working in a country beginning with T, not far from the Middle East, and I was a young and keen, naive ELT teacher. And along with about 15 other new teachers that had arrived at a school where there were mostly young learners, I enjoyed teaching there very much. However, the owner of the school was somewhat shady, let's say, and occasionally said to teachers things like, "If anyone leaves this school, I have a gun in the safe, and I have friends at customs who will arrest you." Anyway, people literally left in the middle of the night. Me and with my precocious directness, I suppose, asked for a meeting with him and his wife, who happened to be British, and told them exactly why I was leaving. And I left them arguing with each other, her telling him how she spoke badly. How he spoke badly to the teachers, and for all I know, they're still arguing to this day. So I found that first year really formative and terrifying and exhausting and exhilarating and really interesting. I mean, in those days, we were making materials by writing on paper and drawing pictures. I mean, there was very little in terms of content on that we could access apart from, course books, and so we had to create our own supplementary materials. Going forwards, highlights of career, just being able to travel all over the world and being lucky enough to do that, teacher training in countries as diverse as Kazakhstan and Singapore and Algeria and Russia and Colombia. And working with some just wonderful people. Perhaps the highlight of my career in terms of outward success, I suppose, for what that is worth. And I was working as a pedagogy manager for the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, where I was lucky enough to work in the most multicultural environment in the center of London, in the language training center for ambassadors, diplomats, and diplomatic staff, where I was managing the foreign language teachers and their training and development program. So that was a sidestep into modern foreign languages and a fascinating eye-opener.
All right. So speaking of those early days, shall we finish off with what would you have wished you'd known at the start of your career?
Perhaps I wish I had known that I'm glad I didn't know any more than I actually did, because I went through the process of learning and finding my feet, and sometimes stumbling, meeting some inspirational people, meeting some charlatans, and growing as the industry has grown, actually, and become really embedded as a well-respected profession worldwide. I think in the early days, you know, it was something of a slur to be called a TEFL teacher. And I still kind of like shrink a little bit when someone says, oh, you're a TEFL teacher, because that taps into those early days of TEFLing and, you know, a working holiday and not really serious about what you do. But I wish I'd known that it was a well-respected career that I would be in long-term. That said, you know, it's transpired that I've been in it 30 years and continuing. So I've enjoyed every step of the way. Perhaps I wish I'd known that the school I was about to sign up to, for example, had a teacher who, sorry, had a manager who was going to threaten that he had a gun in the safe. But would that have changed my choices? Perhaps not. So I wish I'd perhaps I'd wish I'd known that there were so many diverse opportunities in the industry as well, and that I was going to grow and have access to many of them and enjoy them, because it was quite a leap of faith in the beginning, doing initial teacher training course and where I'm going to go with that. It was more of an escape, or certainly part of it, was an escape at the time. And so perhaps I wish I'd known that that there was going to be longevity in this. That would have provided reassurance. But, you know.
And to tie this back to Develop-Pod, did you wish you'd known at the onset, when you started working on Develop-Pod, what it was going to become?
I think if there's ever been some useful or at least valid critical feedback about Develop-Pod, that is perhaps that it's so diverse in its contents and its focus. And what does it aim to, you know, what does it aim to give in terms of insight? Is it about content and pedagogy? Is it about diverse issues around ELT teaching? Is it something else? And I think we've tried to do many things. So perhaps maybe we could have thought more about its how it was going to grow and how to fit into various seasons, I suppose, and to make it more accessible. That said, I think that's one of the strengths of Develop-Pod, that it is diverse in its themes and content. And I love that, and I don't regret that's been so. However, I think, you know, there is an argument that perhaps we could continue to dig deeper, for example, into the core content of language teaching and pedagogy, as opposed to the diverse array of interests. And I won't quote any, but you get what I'm saying. That have we brought into the mix, which, don't get me wrong, have incredible value, and I think it's been useful along the way. Some of those diverse themes that we've explored, you know, that's where English language teaching is at, and I think particularly for experienced teachers, themes like, for example, race and queerness, or are vital, and yet, you know, I go back to what Savannah Richardson says in the last interview with her. I think they're integral but peripheral, if that's not a contradiction, to what we're doing. And I think they can be bewildering, that vast range of topics to many, particularly those starting out. That said, this podcast caters for those experienced and less experienced teachers along their teaching journey. So I think all the topics have been valid.
And like the start of a teaching English career, DevelopPod has grown and changed and embraced all kinds of different topics and themes. And we've seen it grow just like we've seen teachers' careers grow, such as yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
What is next for you?
Well, if you'll have me, hopefully I'll be back at some point as a guest or a guest interviewer, but that would be fun. But I'll continue my ELT career in terms of teaching and teacher training. I'm hoping to start a new podcast, TBC, along the lines of teacher development in challenging contexts. That was an idea that came to me during a recording for one of these episodes. And also something that Silvana Richardson perhaps touched on when she said that in the future, she believes that we'll need trauma-informed pedagogies and training around that. For example, in contexts where we're teaching refugees. So that's a possible for the future, let's say.
All right. Sounds like you've got some things lined up. It
busy.
Is interesting. Busy. It is interesting to interview you, as we know that you interviewed me in episode 38, ITEFL Conference with Helen Slee. So what goes around comes back around.
You've managed to turn the tables, and I'm really happy with the full circle. Thanks, Helen, and good luck with everything on DevelopPod for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of DevelopPod. Of course, if you want to stay in touch with us, the best way to stay in touch with TDSIG is to follow us on social media. You can find us in all the usual places. Just search for ITEFL TDSIG and you'll find us there. If you want to stay subscribed to the podcast to make sure you receive each new episode, then just hit subscribe in whichever podcast app you're listening to us on. That's it from today. So thank you, Helen. Welcome aboard. And I'm really looking forward to listening to your episodes of DevelopPod coming soon.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
And of course, a big thank you to Christian. Thank you for everything again. And we look forward to welcoming you back, of course, as a guest in the future. But for now, thank you.
So you say. You've already changed the locks, James, I reckon. thank you so much. It's been a joy. And good luck in steering the ship with Ceci. And Helen, good luck with DevelopPod and everything else you do on the committee. And I wonder if you're going to have a new catchphrase.
Oh, I don't know. Wow. I mean, if it ain't broke, why fix it?
Well, it might be not broke, but it might be a bit
might
of
be
a
copyrighted.
Oh, we'll see what I come.
Someone might be claiming ownership.
I'll leave that one to you, and but I think maybe the listeners might go for something else. We'll see.
So, thanks to both of you, and thanks to everyone for listening. See you next time.